A number of years ago, we took a group of secular university students to Israel on our Jerusalem Fellowships program. One of the presentations they were given was by Gila Mandelson, a star teacher who writes well-received books about relationships. One of her special subjects, and the subject of her class to the students, was the prohibition in Jewish law of men and women becoming physically involved before marriage. She teaches about it in a very withered way, with plenty of modern-day true stories that show the negative results of people becoming involved too quickly. It is a hard subject for secular young men, although secular young women understand it. But I particularly remember one young man who came out of the class saying in a loud voice, "This is the most illogical presentation I have ever heard." I'd been listening to her presentation, and what she said didn't seem to me illogical at all. But to him, it not only went against his desires, which was to be expected, but it seemed to him to go totally against his mind. So there was no way he could expect himself to even consider it. Way number 48, he makes his teacher wise, is the antidote to the closing of the mind that comes when we hear something we totally disagree with. For a secular young man, it could be something like the above example, but it could happen when a teacher advises a young man or woman to go to yeshiva or seminary instead of taking a job right after university, or a career counselor tells you that being a doctor is not for you, or a marriage counselor tells you that criticizing your husband is destroying your marriage, or your friend tells you that working overtime to make more money at your job is not worth the effect it is having on your family. In each case, the teacher, counselor, or friend might be wrong. Every human being makes mistakes. But what if they are right? When we are totally convinced about something, we won't even consider the possibility. Make your teacher wise works against that mental closure. When you totally disagree with what someone said, that is the time to ask yourself, is there any wisdom he might really have? Is there any way that he might actually be right? To open yourself to that question, first look at whether the other person has some credentials to say what he or she is saying. Our young man at Gila's lecture could have said, "She is a recognized teacher, she writes books on the subject. If she was totally illogical, no one would listen to her." The same goes when you talk with a recognized career counselor or marriage counselor. In way number 10, serve the wise man, we spoke about this as one of the reasons that people need to seek for themselves a teacher who they go to for their life questions. When you've heard something from someone, it is harder to say that what he is saying to you now is totally wrong and worthless. Certainly, when you're dealing with the sages, the wise men of the Jewish people, don't be quick to write off what they say. Don't say, "In those ancient days, they just didn't understand human psychology, or they were prejudiced against women." The rabbis say a person doesn't really understand the depth of what his teacher is saying until 40 years. What do you think you understand? What you think you understand now may be wrong. We need to give special consideration to someone who has demonstrated wisdom. But even an ordinary person deserves some consideration if he says something you totally disagree with. The rabbis say, who is wise? The one who learns from everyone. Everyone has some connection to the truth, and maybe what he or she sees is the thing that your emotions block you from seeing. Once you have focused on having respect for the people who are disagreeing with you, make an effort to think out why they're saying what they're saying. If necessary, play devil's advocate with yourself. Ask your mind for 5 reasons they could be right, even when you were sure they are wrong. Even when you've thought it out and you are certain that the other person is wrong, consider that there may be some part of what he said that you can learn from. Even when a person says something mistaken, there is often some truth in it. Rav Noach went as far as to say that an anti-Semite can only hate Jews if there is something that we are doing wrong. He pointed out that the Hittites, one of the 7 Canaanite nations who were so corrupt that God commanded us later to wipe them out, still called Abraham a prince of God. Even though they didn't like or want to live with what he stood for, since he was a man of kindness who cared for everyone, they couldn't find anything about him to hate or criticize. So even though the reason why the anti-Semite thinks he hates us might be totally off the wall, we can still try to understand the deeper flaw in how we are living that might have started him off. Another aspect of this way is to learn to argue for what you believe with your teacher. Don't just turn off to what he says, but don't blindly accept it either. If you're convinced of your position, argue with him and try to make him wiser. Show him where he is making a mistake. Often you will find that he is really right when he answers your objections. And if it turns out that you were right, then both of you will have a deeper understanding of the issue than when you started. Tomorrow we will do number 49 of the 48 ways, and the next day we will do number 50. If you have the question, why are there 50 of the 48 ways, I invite you to tune in tomorrow.